بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Have you not considered how your Rabb dealt with the owners of the elephant? Did he not make their treacherous plan a flop? And he sent against them flocks of birds, which pelted them with stones of baked clay. And he left them like chewed up chaff.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل صدق الله العظيم. In order to understand the beauty, to be able to draw lessons, to take inspiration from the surah ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل, have you not seen what your Allah has done, what He has made of the people of the elephant? Despite the surah not having the details of why the army of Abraha came to destroy the Kaaba, and how Allah Tabarak Ta'ala's army of birds disgraced and destroyed this army. But because of this incident known as the Waqiyah, the incident of the elephant being so famous, that the Arabs, who were not so particular in recording years, dates, amongst all of them, this year it was known as the year of the elephant, Aamul Fil. It was an incident that was not going to be forgotten. Through their poetry, through their explanations, through their bayanat, the way they explained it to their children, to their nephews and nieces, it was as though those children had seen the waqia, the event themselves. For me and you who have come many, many years after, in order to also draw the correct inspiration, a slight tariq, a slight understanding of the history behind why they came and how Allah Tabarak Ta'ala didn't destroy them indeed will be helpful. In the lands of Yemen, there was a government known as Himyar. In this area, for many years, a Jew by the name of Dhu Nawas had persecuted the Christians of that land. So much of oppression and evil was meted out upon these people that finally one took the courage to flee across the Red Sea and to take help or to beg for aid from the Christian king of Habsha, Ethiopia. The king of Ethiopia, Habsha, was a Christian, but more powerful than him was the Christian hukumat, Christian rule in the lands of Constantinople, who had now gained control over the lands of Sham, over the lands of Egypt. After consulting with the king of Constantinople, known as the Caesar, Constantinople provides aid of the boats, the ships. They had already control over the Red Sea. So aid with ships is given from the king of Constantinople, and 70,000 soldiers are provided by the king of Habsha. By the year 525, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in 570. By 525, these Christians have now taken control over Himyar, over Yemen. The Himyari rule has been destroyed. As the Christians settle in this land, Yemen, and leader over the armies is now handed over to a man called Abraha. In the initial stage, he shows how kind the Christians are to the Arabs of Yemen and surrounding areas. But those that have gone deep into tariq, with nazre daqiq, with a deep eye, who have pondered, they have written that although it seemed that the Caesar of Constantinople was very worried with regards to the halat, the condition. He had a lot of sympathy for the Christians of the area of Yemen. But as you will now find, that after a few years of settling down and getting everyone's respect, love, trust, then Abraha, on acting on the mashwara, the guidance of the Caesar of Constantinople, Abraha will start now moving towards something which was not going to help anyone in the lands of Yemen. Rather, it was going to become a cause of the death of many. Irrespective of whether the man was going to be Christian, the man was going to be Arab, on the madhab, the faith of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, it did not matter. When they entered into the lands of Yemen, they came with such a smiling, welcoming face. But within a couple of years, the reality was going to open. Scholars have written that although the excuse was made sympathy for the people of Christians, of Christianity, sympathy for the Christians of the land of Yemen, the real purpose behind Caesar being so enthusiastic with regards to the Habshi Hukumat going into the lands of Yemen was that for years, the Romans who had taken control over Sham, operating from Constantinople, they were desirous of grabbing power over the trade route, which had become known as the trade route of the Arabs. A trade route running from Yemen, close to the Red Sea, going past Makkah Mukarrama, going right until what we call today the Gulf of Aqaba, turning to the right, going towards the land of Iraq and Iran, turning to the left, going to the lands of Egypt. The trade route, which for years had been in the hands of the Arabs, desirous to remove the Arab as the middleman and to take full qabza control over this route, so that travelers on this route would have to now pay taxes to the Christians of Constantinople, and that they will be able to use this route without having to pay taxes to anyone. For years they were desirous and they had made many attempts, now finding a chance where the Habshis, the Ethiopians themselves will go to fight. And all that they have to give is their ships, their boats. The Caesar of Constantinople grabbed the opportunity. There was no ikhlas, there was no sincerity in this battle. It was like the many battles of the times that we see today, where at the beginning the excuse is put forward, so much of sympathy, so much of cheers, so much of cries. We find these first world hukumats, countries, showing so much of worry for third world countries. But as soon as they get their leg in, and the reality and their true nature comes out, then it is nothing but massacring, killing, maiming the individuals, the people of that land, just to be able to suck the blood and the wealth of the land. Abraha's coming to the land of Yemen, and the Caesar being so desirous, enthusiastic of it, was exactly the same. After landing in the lands of Yemen, Abraha turns his attention to the dam known as Ma'arib, Sadde Ma'arib, the dam of Ma'arib. To be able to make its marammat, to be able to work on it, to be able to bring it up to its old power and glory, so that this dam could be a source of barakat, blessings, goodness, khair, ease for the people of Yemen. Abraha turns his full attention. The money that he spends, the effort and the time again, there is no sincerity in this at all. It is merely to win the admiration and the love of the Arabs of Yemen, so that when the time comes to move in their true mission, to spread the Christian faith amongst the Arabs, then the Arabs will regard them as saviors and helpers. They will never look at them with the eye of mistrust. They will feel, when these people have helped us so much in our dunya, why must we not trust them with regards to our faith? So from the year 525, Abraha's efforts is towards this dam. And it is only on the completion of this dam in the year 543 does Abraha now turn his attention towards what was the initial purpose, maqsad, of the Caesar of Constantinople, providing those ships and boats and making the war against the Arabs of Yemen so easy for the Ethiopians. The spread of Christianity starts, and with that, the effort to gain control over this trade route. The trade route now has become famous as the Arab trade route, the trade route which is common with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hashim had begun, it had become famous as the trade route of the Quraysh. To be able now to break the rule of the Quraysh, the power of the Quraysh over the trade route, everyone respected the Quraysh. They were known as the Khuddam of the Baytullah. No Arab would ever allow someone to lift a hand, a finger against the Quraysh. To remove this admiration and honor for the Quraysh from the hearts of the normal Arabs, Abraha had to now do something which would make the Arabs understand that the Quraysh are not so important at all. And his mind goes towards turning the people's attention away from the Baytullah, and if need be, to break, destroy the Baytullah itself. After which there will be no khadim of the Baytullah, no servant of the Baytullah. The admiration, respect of the Quraysh will go away from the hearts of the Arabs. And then to gain power over the trade route would become easy. But the desire to initiate a war, or to break the honor of the Baytullah, the Kaaba, and thereafter the honor of the ones looking after the Kaaba, the Khuddam of the Kaaba, the Quraysh, Abraha begins building a huge church in the land of Sana'a in Yemen. After the completion of this mighty church, he makes the i'lan. He makes the announcement amongst the Arabs that now, instead of making Hajj to the house of Allah, the Hajj in the coming years should rather be made towards his church. Abraha's intention behind this was to incite the Arabs, to make them irritated, to bring them to the verge of war, especially the Quraysh, because they were the real Khuddam of the Baytullah, to make them want to stand up against Abraha. Because of which it is famous, it is known that within a few days of this i'lan announcement, a Qurayshi, someone from the Quraysh, either from his own jazba, from his own feelings, from his own anger with the i'lan announcement of Abraha, or perhaps Abraha had paid a Qurayshi to first miss this mighty and beautiful church that he had put up, and thereafter set fire to some portions of it. So the attack made on the church of Abraha was because of the instigation of Abraha, and very possible because Abraha had paid someone to attack it. This is very similar to the times in which we find that a Muslim makes an attack, but that Muslim has no relationship at all with Islam. When you just look at that Muslim, when you hear of the incident, you understand that someone had instigated him, someone had pushed him, perhaps someone had paid him. The intention behind this entire attack of the Muslim was nothing but that the party behind him, they are desirous, were desirous of nothing but initiating a war, a battle. This was merely an excuse. They were the ones creating the excuse. Abraha did the same. The Quraishi sets fire to part of the temple after messing it with his stool. Abraha now takes a loud qasam and oath that he will not sit still until he has broken down the Baytullah. And the army of Abraha now sets forth. 60,000 soldiers. For the Arabs, 60,000 is too much to fight against. For them to get 10 to 20,000 soldiers itself is difficult. 60,000 soldiers with 13, some reports 9 elephants. As they leave Yemen moving towards Makkah Mukarramah, a Yemeni leader comes up against them, but there was no army that could fight. Dhu Nafar and his soldiers are defeated. Reaching a place called Khaf'am, The Arab leader Nufail bin Habib Khath'ami is defeated. He is taken as a captive. He is made like a slave. To protect his life, finally he agrees that he will show them the path. He will show them the route that they need to take. But he is not happy with this. He is forced into their slavery. However, at Taif, the tribe of Banu Thaqif, on this occasion they did something which the Arabs would never forget. And it was a lesson for all Muslims that even at the time when the Muslim Hukumat empire feels weak, they should never be sellouts. They should never, in the desire to protect their dunya, their world, become the slaves of the people of Kufr. If they are unable themselves to fight against Kufr, they should never drop themselves so low to become the slaves of the people of Kufr. The people of Banu Thaqif, they had a temple in which they housed the idol called Lat. Fearing that the army of Abraha will destroy this temple, they also would make Hajj to the Baytullah. But the love of Lat and the temple of Lat had settled so much in their hearts that they were now more bothered with protecting Lat than they were bothered about the Baytullah. So they come to Abraha and they say to him that your intention is Baytullah, the house of Allah, that's in Kaaba, Makkah. We fear that your army on the way to Makkah might pass by our temple, thinking this also to be associated with the Kaaba, they will break this. They said, this has no association, please do not attack this. And to make sure you get the right route towards Makkah, that you don't have to go past this temple, they said, we will provide our guide, Abu Rughal is given. Nufail bin Habib, unhappily he was forced to be a guide. Allah Tabarakallah excused him. When the punishment would fall, it would not hit him. As for Abu Rughal and the people of Thaqif, they were happy with regards to this. He did not go far in his journey where death overtook him. He died in disgrace. They write, the Arabs for years thereafter would find his grave and they would pelt it with stones. He left a message to every Muslim that don't ever sell your deen for the sake of your dunya. Because when the pelting of Almighty Allah starts, it will not only be on the top of the grave, it will be in the grave itself. Abu Rughal passes away and the army of Abraha, using Nufail bin Habib as their only guide, continues. At the place close to Makkah Mukarrama, they take control, they take over the camels and the livestock of the people of Tihama in the Quraysh. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 200 of his animals are also taken. And then Abraha says that he would love to meet with one of the leaders, the person who is in charge. At that time, the Quraysh, there was not one person really in charge, but they all understood that Abdul Muttalib is our master, our leader. Abdul Muttalib is asked to approach Abraha. When he comes to Abraha, first he offers that whatever wealth you want, we will try and provide it. Abraha says, I want nothing but, I want to bring down the Baytullah and I'm justified in doing it. When your people attacked my house, it is only right I attack yours. Instead of arguing with him, Abdul Muttalib then just says that, return to me my animals. Abraha in astonishment looks at him and says, I have come to destroy the house because of which you got all your honor. And you are more worried about your animals. And Abraha gives his unique answer at that occasion, that every person looks after what he has. I have been made responsible to look after what is by me, my sheep. As for the house, it has its own master. Rabbul Bayt, the master of the house, the lord of the house will look after. He says, remember Abraha, many people tried to lay their hands on the house of Allah. Allah never allowed them. Allah is not going to allow you. But Abraha laughs at his statement. The army of Abraha, as they continue, until a time comes where the main elephant Mahmud sits. If they poke it, they hit it, they stab it to move towards Yemen, it's ready. If they wanted to move towards Iraq, it's ready. If they wanted to move towards Makkah, Mukarrama, it just sits. Despite the amount of poking, it is bleeding, but the elephant Mahmud will not go towards the house of Allah. And then in the distance comes the birds, with pebbles in their beaks and their claws. On the drop of the pebble as it goes through the bodies of these 60,000 soldiers and the bodies of the elephants, some would collapse there and there. For many others, it would create a sickness, a disease. It would create such a severe itch that in the books of history they write that on account of scratching, these soldiers were taking the skin off their bodies. And then they were seeing, before dying, their flesh rotting and falling to the ground. It was not a sudden death, it was a terrible, long-lasting punishment. Screaming to Nufail bin Habib, get us out of here. Show us the way home. What a wonderful reply he gives on that day. Aynal mafar wal ilahu talibun. That today when Almighty Allah Himself is searching for you, where are you going to run? It is this Nufail bin Habib who was the eyewitness to the army of Abraha collapsing on the different stages of the journey. Abraha himself manages to reach Khas'am. Pieces of flesh dropping at every place, every manzil, every marhala. And finally reaching Khas'am, Abraha falls down dead. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his final hajj, when he moves from Muzdalifah to Mina, then he comes to a place which is known as the Valley of Muhassir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushes through this area. This was the area where the army of Abraha was stoned, where the first drops, the first pebbles from those birds were falling onto the army. 60,000 soldiers came, and 60,000 soldiers had to return in disgrace, destroyed in this world, destroyed in the year after, because they dared to look with anger, with greed, with power at the house of Almighty Allah. They could not find any man who would stand up in defense of Allah, making them think that Almighty Allah has no other army besides man. Indeed, the armies of Almighty Allah are many. When man himself cannot stand up in defense of the deen of Almighty Allah, Allah has more than enough armies to stand in defense. But it is the kindness of Almighty Allah that He has always given the first chance, the honor to stand in the defense of the deen of Allah. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has given it to the people of the Ummah. Those that grab it, those that take the opportunity, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala blesses them either with immediate benefit, which means futuhat in this world, or Almighty Allah blesses them with delayed benefit, which means shahadat fi sabilillah, and after that there all the gifts and the honor and the entertainment and the enjoyment which is given to the martyr fi sabilillah. It is because of this that the people of the past, they would have this motto, Ghazin O Shaheed, that either I will be the warrior in the path of Allah who will continue fighting and winning the battle, Ghazi, or I will be a martyr. Either I will grab it immediately in the battle of this world, or I will grab it in the plains and in the gardens of Jannah. And every one of those soldiers would always say, whatever I will get in this world of the booty and the benefits of victory in the battles, indeed that is short-lived. And what I am going to get by my Almighty Allah on account of shahadat fi sabilillah, martyrdom in the path of Allah, there is no word to ever explain. When the decision of Almighty Allah comes for the ghalba, for His deen breaking through and overpowering every other religion, every other hukumat, every other government, then Almighty Allah's one command as it comes, the armies of Almighty Allah from avenues you can never imagine will stand. But when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala offers that opportunity and that honor to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be ready to hold the flag of Islam high, despite the criticism, despite the oppression, despite the taunting of others, but to be able to pick up this flag of Islam and move forth in the world, inviting people to the deen of Islam, to the true shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, that is an honor for every believer. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us all with the desire to always be ready to stand for the khidmah of the house of Almighty Allah, of the deen of Almighty Allah, of the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Have you not considered how your Rabb dealt with the owners of the elephant? Did he not make their treacherous plan a flop? And he sent against them flocks of birds, which pelted them with stones of baked clay. And he left them like chewed up chaff.